Stand Up for the Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. This is Stand Up for the Truth, educating, empowering, and connecting Christians to stand on God's Word and truth.
A man who won't stand up for his own principles is not really a man at all.
Get involved by emailing comments at standupforthetruth.com.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, here's the host of Stand Up for the Truth, Mike LeMay.
Unashamed of the gospel and leaning on the truth of God's Word in the Bible. Hello, friends. Mike LeMay and David Fiorazzo. Welcome back to another edition of Stand Up for the Truth. We've got a jam-packed show today, and glad you could join us. We'll open in prayer and get right to our very special guest.
Father, thank you for giving us life today. We try not to take it for granted. We know that you created each one of us in your image, and we thank you for that. And we praise you, Lord, for making every way possible for us to come to you and believe and trust in Jesus. We thank you for knitting us together in our mother's wombs. We thank you that you saw us before we were even born. You knew us. You know everything about us. And Lord, we pray that we would continue to stand up for the precious value of every single human life. And we thank you for this day that you've made. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We pray that you would use this hour to encourage people, to inform, to enlighten those who need to be enlightened, and to challenge those in their thinking that need to be challenged on biblical issues from a Christian perspective, especially regarding the subject of life and life in the womb. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness. And we thank you that you, who began a good work in each one of us, promise to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus and his return. And we look forward to that someday, more, some days much more than others. But we thank you, God, for the promise and the hope that we have that is an anchor to our soul. We lift up this hour to you, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David. Amen. Today's topic, literally a matter of life or death. For too long, abortion has been relegated to a so-called political issue or a woman's medical decision between her and her doctor. But the reality is we are talking about life or death for an innocent baby created by God in his image. Wisconsin Right to Life is one of the most prestigious, efficient, pro-life organizations in our nation. And this morning, we're honored to be joined by Heather Weininger, the leader of Wisconsin Right to Life. And we discuss a very important event coming up soon in Green Bay and talk to her about a flurry of pro-life laws being passed around the nation. And today we ask this question, is it possible that Roe v. Wade could ever be overturned or at least modified to save more lives? Heather, welcome back to Stand Up for the Truth.
Well, thank you so much for having me today, and I'm honored to be here to talk about this issue that all of us are touched by each and every day.
And you are amongst friends and supporters. Heather, we want to start off, there's a major event coming up here in Green Bay in the next couple of weeks that we really want to encourage our listeners to get involved in. Could you give us the details?
Absolutely. The Veritas Society of Wisconsin Right to Life is our media program that we have. And in order to ensure we do our outreach, we, of course, have to have fundraisers. So on September 24th here in Green Bay at the Rock Garden, Robia Scott will be joining us. And some people might recognize that name if they've seen the movie Unplanned. She is actually the Planned Parenthood director. So Abby Johnson's boss in the movie Unplanned, and she is the star there. So she's going to be joining us as our keynote speaker that evening. So it's September 24th. It starts at 5:30 in the evening at the Rock Garden here in Green Bay. We have greater details about that, and you can register actually right online at wrtl.org. Just go to our events, and it's right there. But what's really key on these events and why we have them, it's because we need to share the message of life. And at our organization, what we want to do is change hearts and minds to favor life. And I think Unplanned, for your listeners, if they have not seen this movie, is the best tool to start changing hearts and minds to favor life. You know, through our media, just like Unplanned, through that media, you see the truth about what's happening at Planned Parenthood. We see the truth about life, the lies that we're told, And we want to ensure that everyone knows the truth about life, how it begins at the moment of conception. And that isn't health care when you're killing an unborn child in the womb.
I hope everybody who has not seen that movie will go see it. It's not remotely, to me, it wasn't offensive or controversial because I wanted to go further. I wanted, because those of us who have been talking about this issue for years, writing about this issue, speaking up for life, trying to inform people, trying to remind Christians and conservatives of what God's word says about life in the womb, and then the science and biology behind what happens at conception. When does the baby's heartbeat first start? When do they when can they feel pain? All these different things. So I really wanted to go further, and having written about Margaret Sanger as well, and how the founder of Planned Parenthood and her worldview that was so warped. But it was a phenomenal movie. It's informative. It's not in your face at all. It's not graphic, because a lot of people didn't want to go see it because they thought, ooh, I don't want to see a movie about abortion. Well, no, it's actually a very important movie about this issue. How can you, I know we have the speaker for the Veritas Society luncheon coming up on the 24th, one of the actresses. Can you tell us a little bit more? Can you talk about the movie? Because, I mean, a lot of people either have seen it or not seen it by this point.
Right, absolutely. Well, the good news is, if you haven't seen it, it's out on DVD. So anyone can see it. Amazon Prime, you can watch it right there. So you don't even have to leave your house. But I really think it's a great way of, like you said, it's not in your face. It's a clear depiction of someone who is in a crisis. And that's what we find women in when they have an unplanned pregnancy. That's what it comes down to. I'm in a moment of crisis. I go to what I think is going to be a service for me to help me through this pregnancy, to tell me the truth about what's happening inside my body, what's going to happen after I have the baby. But that's not what happens when you go to Planned Parenthood. It's not about health care for women. It's about the bottom line of their dollar. Mm-hmm. And for them, healthcare services is not where they make their money, unfortunately. And we know that. I mean, let's be honest. We took Title X money away from them because abortion was what they were selling and not the healthcare that these women need, especially in rural areas. So I think it's a great way how we see prayer comes into impact people that you don't even know you're touching and when you're praying for them. So there's people outside praying outside these clinics. They're offering them hope as they walk into these clinics. There's an opportunity for an alternative. Life is precious.
Adoption.
Absolutely. Yeah. Create and knowing that there's pregnancy centers out there who can help you through this. And then when you see the movie, and it's not graphic. I mean, this particular issue is very graphic. In fact, for me, when I began my career in Washington, D.C., it was during partial birth abortion, and I sat through a hearing, and it was very graphic in detail. I didn't know what a partial birth abortion was at that time.
Wow.
I learned very quickly that day how horrific and awful it was. So that was pretty graphic. That's not what this movie is.
No.
It just, you know, it gently shows you what's going to happen in that abortion clinic and how they kind of leave you on your own. And we're here to show people we're the ones that can support you. We can help you through this. So Unplanned, you know, I will be honest, when I watched it in the movie theater, Wisconsin Right to Life, we hosted some premieres the night before it actually opened in theaters. Here in Green Bay, we had one in Ashwaubenon. I didn't even realize the movie was ready to end. You know, here I am tearing up during the whole movie of, oh my gosh, this is amazing, what's happening? And all of a sudden the movie was over. That's how quickly you're so engrossed in it, and quickly it's over. So.
Heather, about a year ago, I believe it was, the state of New York passed, I'm just going to call it what it is, an infanticide law. Something seems to have happened since that. I just sense people are waking up, even people that have called themselves pro-choice and said, wait a minute, this crosses the line.
Absolutely.
So is this a Romans 8:28 thing where God takes something horrible and turns it into something that serves his purpose?
You know, I think that's exactly what we're seeing right now. And what's even worse for us here in Wisconsin, Illinois has passed even further bills that allow abortion to take place. And for the for the taxpayers to pay for it. Wow. So I think what God knows is sometimes we need a little bit of an awakening. Hmm. And sometimes, unfortunately, it takes a little bit of shock to create that awakening. What we saw after those bills were happening, people were contacting us that we've never heard from before. They want to know how to get involved. We heard people say, I'm pro-choice, but you know what? I didn't know that's what pro-choice meant. So I think we have seen a turn of they've gone to the extreme. So people who are pro-choice don't support killing a child who's born alive during a failed abortion attempt. They don't support that. They don't support your taxpayer dollars paying for those abortions. They do support money being offered to children who need real health care, to the moms who need real services. That's what they support, but not killing our unborn children.
Hmm. The pro-life movement is always hopeful. We're always hopeful that this travesty of Roe v. Wade in 1973 can be reversed. And Heather, we're seeing a handful of states pass very strong pro-life laws. And I believe next year is maybe the time when one of these may get to the Supreme Court. Do you believe, and I know we're speculating, is there a realistic chance that Roe v. Wade could be overturned or at least substantially modified?
Let me say, in my lifetime, and most certainly I hope during my children's lifetime, we will see that be overturned. I'm not sure that what's being passed right now are going to be the ones that are taken up at the Supreme Court. I think there's still a lot in flux right now. But I do know what we're seeing is a chip away. As different challenges are going up to the Supreme Court, we see and learn where our justices are, how they might favor one position over another. So I believe we're getting the country ready and the people here in our country ready for big change. And that's what we need. We need a couple things to happen. We need to ensure that the right justices are going to rule in the right way for us. So is the Supreme Court correct with who we have on it? But we also have to have the public in America ready for that change as well. The good news is if anything happens here in the state of Wisconsin, we already have a law on the books that should it be overturned, it goes right back into place and it outlaws abortion here in Wisconsin.
Wow. So we are ready as a state.
Wisconsin is light years ahead of many other states. Let me just tell you that. And I think we kind of sit back in the dark because we've already passed many of these laws at other states. You know, parental consent laws, we've had those on the books for some time. Pain capable, now we've had that. Ensuring that women need to see a physician before they have a chemical abortion. We have all those things on the books. So other states are, you know, looking at what they don't have, realizing, oh, my gosh, we're in a bad position. We need to do more. We need to be ready.
Can you talk about the Pain Capable Act that has been passed? Because a lot of people don't understand, first of all, when a child, a baby, can feel pain in the womb. I think, is that 29 weeks?
So it's actually at 20 weeks.
20 weeks.
And I think what we're going to see, as we know, the technology continues to improve, right? I mean, we've seen it. I mean, when I was born, my mom never even had an ultrasound of me. Now, when I had all my babies, I was high-risk pregnancy, so I was in every week, you know, seeing my babies on there. Yeah. That's what's changing hearts and minds, too, is seeing those babies. So we actually have an ultrasound law here in Wisconsin as well.
Which is good because 80% of the young girls and women who see an ultrasound change their mind about abortion.
Absolutely.
That is a statistic
Absolutely.
That we can talk about. But
it's key. So Pain Capable, we're at 20 weeks right now. I think that could change over time, depending on our scientific research that we have, you know, as more and more comes available. Now, the other side will tell you it's junk science. No, it's not junk science. We know plenty of scientists who are real scientists that can help us. And there is research on this. So don't be dissuaded by the other side when we're told it's junk science. It's absolutely not. Wisconsin did pass it, and it's been in place. And we do see lives being saved because of it.
Another response to the junk science comment or claim is, why then, when surgeons do fetal surgery in the womb, why do they give the fetus
anesthesia?
Some sort of anesthesia,
mm-hmm.
Because they can feel pain.
Right. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Or when the premature babies are born at certain weeks, we can see when we touch them in certain ways, they react. And even in the womb, if you do have ultrasounds, you can see sometimes babies react when they're in the womb. So yeah, they definitely have some kind of sensation there that we know is happening. And you're right. They wouldn't think to give anyone anesthesia if you're not going to feel some kind of pain.
Let's talk about the unplanned movie. A scene in that movie real quick. I want to get your expert advice on how we can talk to people about this, because a lot of the other side, talking about the scene when she saw her baby, or not her baby, she was in helping with an abortion. She was, you know, going in there to help with an abortion, and she saw on the screen the baby move away from the sharp instrument that was coming in to destroy the baby's life.
Right.
So in the womb, the baby flinched and moved away from it. And that's that famous picture of her, the actress Ashley, just looking at, like, did I just see what I just saw? Is that had to be real. They wouldn't make that up and put it in there. But people have said that doesn't happen. How do you refute that?
Go and look at an ultrasound. Watch a baby when they're having an ultrasound, and they sense movement. We know that they sense something is coming for them. So we can see the baby's movement. And how horrific that she witnessed this.
Mm-hmm.
But how beautiful is it that she's sharing her story and making people understand that I have sold the lie at Planned Parenthood, so much so that I participated in all these lives that were taken, and I didn't even really know the truth.
Yeah, we're talking about Abby Johnson,
yes,
the former Planned Parenthood clinic director who Ashley portrays in the movie Unplanned. We're talking with Heather Weininger of Wisconsin Right to Life. How can people purchase tickets for the September 24th dinner reception in Green Bay for the Veritas Society?
Absolutely. Go to our website at wrtl.org. Click on our events. Actually, it's going to be right on that front page on the bottom. You can click on there. You can register online. If you don't have access to a computer and want to call our office, it's 414-778-5780.
What can people expect that have never been to one of these? It says dinner, it says reception. What happens?
Well, we have a little bit of time together beforehand, but we do sit down for dinner. You'll be there offering our prayer that evening. I give a little update on what the Veritas Society is and what we're doing, but then we hear from the speaker as well, kind of their story of transformation, where they are. Robia Scott will share, once upon a time, maybe she wasn't with us on the life issue. So we're looking forward to hearing that. And it is a fundraiser, so we might be asking for another donation that evening.
Well, and I cannot think of any organization more worthy of donations than Wisconsin Right to Life and the work you're doing, Heather. Heather, you talked earlier about we need the right Supreme Court justices, we need the right political leaders. A lot of people, myself included, sometimes feel like I'm a voice of one voice in 350 million people in this nation. My congressman won't listen to me anyway. I can't do anything. What would you say to our audience who is strongly pro-life that each one of us can do in addition to prayer to not let this issue just go by the wayside?
Such a great point. Every voice matters. Every single voice matters when you contact your elected official. So whether it's your state senator, your state assembly person, I can vouch for Congress. I used to work for a congressman from this area. They want to hear from you. Mm. They want to know where people are on this issue. And quite frankly, if they're pro-life and they're serving, they need to know people are out there with them in this fight. We need to say, we're walking beside you. We'll stand with you on this issue, and you can count on us. When you do the right thing, we'll do the right thing for you.
How can we pray for you and your staff and your hundreds of volunteers at Wisconsin Right to Life?
We really appreciate that because, on a daily basis, you can tell the devil's out after us.
Oh, yeah.
And there are many days where you kind of are wondering, why am I doing this?
Hmm.
And then you remember, it's the less vulnerable, and that's why we're doing it. So when we know people are praying for us and keeping us in our prayers, it allows us to do the work that we're doing.
Thank you. And we always try to remind you on this issue that if you are a woman or a man who's participated in an abortion and you're going through spiritual and emotional pain, that there is forgiveness at the cross, that if you confess of the Bible says when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. So if you are living with the pain of a past abortion right now, take it to God. Ask Jesus Christ, acknowledge that he died for your sins. Ask him for his forgiveness, and he will begin to heal you. So never, ever forget that. And Heather, it's just an honor to have you come in here for a few minutes. I hope we can do this more frequently, and because we really want to do all we can to help your organization and the other fine organizations. WRTL.org, and the event again is on?
On September 24th at the Rock Garden at 5:30.
Okay, so come out, get some great food, meet other pro-life warriors, and get a chance to meet a lady who starred in the movie Unplanned and hear her testimony. Thank you, Heather. It's an honor.
Thanks for having me.
You're
God
welcome.
Bless you.
Heather Weininger, Wisconsin, Right to Life Executive Director, correct?
Yes.
Excellent. When we come back, David and I will get to our weekly comments and questions.
If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
David, before we get to our questions, I've often told people, even before I was a born-again believer, I was a one-issue voter. That I just could not support anyone who believed it was righteous and just to kill a baby in the womb. And I wonder if every Christian became a one-issue voter on this issue. I wonder how much change we could be a part of. So, but that's between you and God. A lot of you this week, over the last day or so, emailed me about the Drew Brees situation. Just a summary again. Drew Brees is one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. He's a Super Bowl winner. He is headed to the Hall of Fame. He has been very open about his faith for years. He supported a video with Focus on the Family called Bring Your Bible to School Day, and he got a lot of backlash from the LGBTQ and even from some Christian circles, David.
Bob starts out today. He said Drew Brees backed down when the pressure came to bear. It is sad. Ann said, Brees had a chance to make a bold statement at a time when it is most needed. But on the other hand, aren't pastors supposed to be the ones making bold statements? Jeff says, I applaud Mr. Brees for his thoughtful response, and those Christians who think we should discriminate against LGBTQ people do not understand that Christians are commanded by the scriptures to respect all people, even those we disagree with. Love them by speaking truth with grace, and let God deal with them if they do not repent. But fighting with them just makes us look petty and fearful.
I want to pause on that one, David. It's a very, Jeff, thank you so much. It's a very insightful email. And, you know, the word discriminate, let's just camp out there for a little bit, David. There are right and legal ways to discriminate, and there are wrong and illegal ways to discriminate. In our nation, for example, it is illegal, as it should be, to not hire somebody based on the fact that they are male or female, unless it's a male or female specific job, or their race or their color. Those are good laws. We should never discriminate against non-white people in hiring. But, you know, law itself is discriminatory. For example, if you're a convicted felon, you don't get to vote and you don't get a firearm. So there's a legal discrimination and there's an illegal discrimination. And Jeff, I think where your comments kind of strike to the chord here is that we as Christians, you know, the Constitution says that we have the government shall never interfere with our religious conscience or the free expression of our religion. And when you look at what we faced here in De Pere, where the city of De Pere tried to force Christian churches and Christian nonprofit organizations to hire people contrary to our biblical beliefs, to teach things contrary to our biblical beliefs. So they were trying to eliminate a discrimination that is legal and guaranteed by the Constitution. And one, quite frankly, Jeff, that would have totally undermined all the work that churches are doing. And it would have forced churches and Christian ministries throughout the city to teach and promote things that are the antithesis of what God wants taught and accepted. So the word discrimination is one that we got to take a step back here and realize that every one of us discriminate, as I remember, means to make a judgment. We all make judgments. We judge what type of home we're going to buy, what type of car we're going to buy, how many children we're going to have, whatever it might be, what we eat for lunch today. So to just throw that word discrimination, as the left has done, that anytime we discriminate, it's evil, that's just wrong. And we need to, but to your other point, Jeff, I agree with you completely. that we must never let anger rule the day with us. And we must remember that people, there are two types of people in the world, those who have been saved by the grace of God and those who have not yet or will never be saved by the grace of God. So may we look at, if you will, opponents with love and grace and compassion. But again, we also should never stand on anything contrary to what God says in his word.
Joseph says, Breeze is the classic example of how radical godless people do not want to live in peace with anyone who disagrees with them. Bringing your Bible to school has nothing to do with the LGBTQ movement, period. It is the right of a Christian to carry a Bible. But it's what, it, indirectly though, because it's what the Bible teaches, the contents in the Bible about sin, every kind of sin, about the state of the heart of man, but about sexual sin. So indirectly, it is an issue that falls under this bring your Bible. What are they bringing? Teachings on morality of a holy God that most of our culture and society has rejected. So they don't want these Bibles in public schools. I understand part of the blowback. So I appreciate Joseph's comments, but I just want to clarify that point that, yes, it's the right of us. We can carry a Bible. We can read the Bible. But be careful if you start talking about what's inside of it.
Yeah. You know, David, on that line, too, an underlying thing that's happening in this nation that I don't think we're paying enough attention to is there is this movement that people need to be protected against being offended. We have colleges that have space safe places, and we all have our little safe closet and things like that. And, you know, when this stuff, when we believe that we have a right to never be offended, the only thing that can come out of it is chaos. Imagine if you or I were sitting on our front porch tonight having a cup of tea or a bottle of water and we were reading the Bible and someone walked on the sidewalk and said, that book offends me. And the police came and said, hey, put it away because it offends. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but are we not seeing that on college campuses? This whole thing that young people these days are so fragile that they can't handle anything that they disagree with and that they have a right to not be offended. And that's an underlying issue in this nation that cuts to free speech and religious freedom that we need to keep our eye on, I think.
Next, Sam says, Drew Brees just gave an indication of how our freedoms of religious belief and expression are in the crossfire by those who have rejected God. They are coming at us legally, socially, and operational with furor and disdain. We are headed to full-blown discrimination and persecution against Christians, just as the Bible warns. Carrie is the last comment on that. Actually, we have two more. Actually, three more.
Three more.
Carrie says, Christians criticizing Drew Brees show a lack of compassion and understanding and have never experienced the type of verbal onslaught and attacks he stepped into. We are always quick to criticize our own instead of taking on the world.
I agree with that, Carrie. I think we are too quick to do that sometimes.
Alan said the lesson we should all take to heart from Breeze is, are we each prepared to speak the truth in love and grace when we are in his shoes? I suggest we all consider that carefully because our careers and safety may one day be at stake. And We talked about this in detail yesterday, in depth. You and I discussed all that and how it looks for Christians, whether we're working for a ministry out in the public square, or in most cases, people work secular jobs and have choices to make on what they say, whether they admit they're a Christian, whether they talk at all about religion or what the Bible teaches, or whether they are a silent witness, and what is ineffective, what is effective, and the blowback they might get from their employer or employees.
Yeah, David, that's a great point. And I was, as you were talking, I was thinking about this. Drew Brees makes like $25 million a year. Highly paid person.
Wow.
He is also a very, very good quarterback. And he is loved in New Orleans, I think, primarily because he wins football games. So you've got this god of football in this nation. And you've got Drew Brees, who's now come out and said, bring your Bible to school. And you wonder, the average secular person in New Orleans, if push came to shove, would they want Drew Brees fired or not? Because
think they care as long as they win.
As long as they win, yeah.
You know why? Philadelphia, a couple years ago, they had the most Christians I've ever seen on one team, being vocal about their faith, wanting to make disciples. one or two of them want to be a pastor. We got the head coach proclaiming his faith in Jesus Christ. Assistant coaches, one of the most active and vocal chaplains in the NFL. They win the Super Bowl. I don't think, and Philadelphia fans, the point I'm making is Philadelphia, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Oakland. There are some venues in America, some cities in America that have some of the toughest fans that are very hard on the players if you lose. So they'll let anything go, I think, if the team, any team in the NFL is winning.
I think that's a great point. It would be interesting to see how they react in Philadelphia if they lose this year. Wow, get rid of those Bible thumpers. Yep, we need a real man in there. So, interesting.
All right, next comment comes from Ken. He said, Drew Brees is just another example of how we must stop looking to athletes or singers for our theology and also not be upset when they do or say things exactly the way we think they should. It was great that he did the video promoting Bring Your Bible to School Day, October 3rd. Yes, it was disappointing that he was not stronger when the heat came on him from the left loonies. But what he said about not wanting to support any group that promotes hatred or discrimination should be applauded. Are we as Christians supposed to see others as less than us or treat them as less because they do not hold our views? The whole concept of discrimination is a difficult one. There are times to rightfully discriminate. For example, you would not hire a convicted pedophile to work in a children's daycare. Christian organizations should not be forced to hire unbelievers if it would cause a problem. But I do think that as Christians, we sometimes act like frightened children when the LGBTQ attacks our views. When someone attacks you and tries to take away your rights, it is hard to love them. But the Bible commands us to do just that.
Thank you. That's a great email. Yep. On so many fronts. And it is hard for us because we're human. And we have emotions that when someone hates us, it's very hard to love them. But again, we have got to look to the example of the one we are to emulate, Jesus Christ, who was on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To the example where he never opposed Pilate. He never yelled for the men who were whipping him to stop. He never hated anyone. And yes, those are big shoes to fill to be like Jesus Christ, but it is what we're called to do. And it is difficult. As an increasing majority of this world hates us as Christians, our human temptation is going to be to hate back. And we must resist that temptation, and the only way we can resist it is by the Holy Spirit's power and a lot of prayer. So thank all of you who commented on the Drew Brees controversy. Now we'll move on to Dawn.
Don says it is difficult to determine when dealing with people who fall into the trap of liberal Christianity if they are simply immature in their faith and able to grow, or if they are just under an illusion that will only grow worse. I think she meant unable to grow.
Or unable to grow.
Do you have any practical advice on how to determine between the two?
Don, I think it's difficult, and I do think about this all the time in Romans 1 when Paul said because people rejected the truth of God, that God turned them over to a deranged or reprobate mind to say and do unthinkable things. So there is a point where God turns you over. He says, I've had enough. You're done. Toast. Get out of here. Do your evil stuff, but you and I are finished. What I try to do is to ask them questions, and kind of on this path, Don, when somebody states they're a Christian, and they state something that you know is contradictory to the Bible, I ask them, if you were wrong, Dave, would you want to know it? If you were wrong, would you want to know it? They'll usually say yes. And then I ask them, how would you know you're wrong? Now, if they say, well, if God's word says, okay, now we're getting somewhere. And then I ask them, if God's word contradicted what you feel or believe, would it change your mind? And this helps me to determine if the person is open to knowledge and understanding of God's mm-hmm. word, or if they've made up their mind and they don't want to be confused by the facts. And my advice to you is if somebody says, I don't care what God's word says, I'm a Christian and I think this, then walk away. Do not cast your pearl before swine, because Jesus said they will trample the pearls and attack you. When somebody has made up their mind and they're unwilling to consider they might be wrong, it's time to just quietly move on and continue to pray for that person. Don, that's the best advice I can give you.
Doris is next. Dr. Abercrombie is spot on in his assessment of modern psychology. When you understand the beliefs of Freud and how his teachings form the base of modern psychology, Christians should run from it. I love the way he framed up counseling as really discipleship growing in the knowledge and grace of our Savior.
I like that too. And by the way, Dr. Ab is going to be back on with us, I believe, next week.
Next week, yeah.
Next week. So it really is discipleship. And a couple of things, Doris, I'd like to comment on your very good comments here. You're absolutely right about Freud. I studied Freud. Freud did not believe in God. Freud believed that man was simply a slightly higher form of animal because of evolution. Freud also believed that what drives all people is sex, not food, not survival, sex, that is the key thing. And he developed a lot of his theories around that. And probably 70% of psychology in the United States and worldwide now is what's called Freudian psychology. I really liked, and I agree with you, Doris, when Dr. Ab talked about it really being discipleship and growing in the knowledge and grace of our Savior. And I just hope we get to a point in our churches where people feel comfortable opening up about their shortcomings and their sin and areas we need help. Because I think too often, David, in our churches, we feel like we have to put this mask on and walk into church and go, hey, God is good all the time. God is good and my life is wonderful. And deep down, we're hurting. Yeah. Whether you're male or female, whether you're a 30-year Christian or a 2-year Christian, sometimes we're hurting, and we don't seem to feel safe to bring those hurts up to one another. And I hope that changes.
Amos is next. He says, I enjoyed listening to Dr. Abercrombie. Modern psychology is based almost exclusively on Sigmund Freud, who denied God exists and believed that man was just a slightly higher form of an animal due to evolution. But almost all psychology today is somewhat based in his beliefs and conclusions. I think there is a place for the medical community when mental illness exists, and I believe God gave certain trained people the abilities to help those struggling with problems or illnesses, so I'm not against psychology per se, but we must remember to never set God or his word aside when we are in need of counseling or professional help.
Personally, I believe that's a 5-star email.
Yeah, me too.
You know, there's a cult of Christianity, and I cannot remember, Dave, what it goes by, but it refuses to seek medical help because they said that that's a lack of faith in God. And there was a story out in Wausau, I believe, a dozen or 15 years ago, where some parents did not bring their child in who was suffering horribly, and the child died. That's just stupid. I mean, all good things come from God. God has given some men and women the ability to understand the mind and to properly use medication and techniques. I am also not against psychology per se, but I think, and Dr. Ab, I believe, said this also, let's get the train in the right order. Whatever, if you're seeing a psychologist or a psychiatrist for mental illness, that's okay. But understand that anything he or she tells you, you have to hold against the Bible. So the Bible needs to be the final filter of everything we believe and everything we hear and everything we say. So I am not at all opposed to us, the medical community, helping people with mental illness. But let's always make our last stop on anything we do, say, or believe God's word. So good emails. When we come back, Jack also has a comment regarding psychology.
If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
One more question or comment about psychology, David.
Jack said, I would not be so quick to throw out the baby with the bathwater regarding psychology.
You love that statement,
oh,
don't you, David?
Oh, my goodness. We won't even go down that road. Granted, talking with mature believers is always the best option, but sometimes Christians don't feel they can intimately trust that their baggage won't become public knowledge in the church because of gossip, which far too many Christians still struggle with. Sometimes having someone objective and safe is not always a bad choice.
Yeah, but you know, the perfect world, Jack, would be that we have people in the church capable of helping us process problems that can be trusted. And that's what Abercrombie's Biblical Counseling Institute is all about, is building up leaders in the church and people in the church who are able to help us in a safe environment to process problems we're going through. So the perfect world would be you can confidentially speak to a Christian who knows God's word very well and can help you. But I would agree with you, Jack. I think gossip is a cancer in far too many Christian circles.
All right, next, Rebecca said, this is the second time I've heard Elijah Abraham speak, and his insight and conviction are truly inspiring. Thanks so much to him and to Gary Kaw for another incredible podcast and for their faithfulness in serving the Lord and standing up for truth. It's oftentimes discouraging to feel as if the church just doesn't see these things or care. Then I'm reminded that it only brings even greater purpose to those of us who've been given the gift of discernment and passion for speaking truth. This is an incredible time to be a discerning Christian, and I pray more will seek the Lord in all truth and hear and follow his voice.
Amen.
Then Edward says, the show you did with Elijah Abraham and Gary Kaw were on when they were on together was the best show yet.
Nice.
He said, to be able to listen to two men who love God and understand what is happening from unique perspectives and experiences was fantastic. I just hope Christians will start listening to what people like them are saying and become serious students of the Bible and prophecy. It seems obvious to me that we are living in the final years before the Lord takes us away and then comes to judge the world.
David, at what age did you give your life to Christ?
Which time?
I mean, when it really...
When I originally did?
No, when it really took, when you really became born again.
That would have been... The original time would have been late 1980s, but late 1990s.
Okay, and mine was when I was 45 in 1999. And I remember in the early 70s reading The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. And I remember the time was like, right. You know, so people of the world will dismiss biblical prophecy as goofy stuff. We as Christians, though, need to take biblical prophecy seriously. Mm-hmm. Every prophecy God gave in his word that's time has come has been fulfilled, including some. I read one time that the odds of Isaiah, all of Isaiah's prophecies coming true about Jesus were like 70 million to one.
Wow.
I mean, staggering. So we as Christians, I agree with Jack, we have to start listening to people who are living in the real world, who are born-again believers, and who are seeing things that we may not be able to see in our normal jobs.
And those Gary Kaw and Elijah Abraham, by the way, the podcast was last Friday, which was the 6th, September 6th, if you want to look up at standupforthetruth.com. Phenomenal. They both have just great worldviews, and their unique backgrounds and histories. You know, Gary in Washington, D.C., and Elijah, former Muslim, help see the world with this biblical perspective, what's happening regarding the push to globalism and everything else what's happening in the church. So I agree, that was a very, very good podcast.
I really liked when we asked Gary and Elijah about Islam's role in the final one world religion. And Elijah said he believes in the Ezekiel 38 war that Islam, radical Islam, is wiped out. And it seemed like I just really enjoyed the perspective they brought there, mm-hmm. that I don't think either one of them thinks Islam is the final one world religion, that radical Islam will be gone, but it's just kind of this conglomeration of New Age and everything else.
Well, how would the Jews ever accept Islam and team up with them?
Yeah.
And,
so we know it can't be Christianity. We know it can't be Islam. So it's got to be some New Age gobbledygook of a bunch of Band-Aids thrown together.
Yeah. All right, the next one comes from Jean. She says, we enrolled our daughter in the John Nelson Darby Academy of Pastor Randy White, and we have been greatly encouraged to see her grow in her faith and thrive in her learning. Can't recommend it highly enough, and it is very inexpensive.
Heard that from a couple other listeners. So that I believe the next time we have Pastor White on, we're going to specifically talk about the John Nelson Darby Academy.
Good. Yeah, I saw just one of the pages out of a homework for, I think it was at the 7th grade level. I'm going, man, most Christian adults don't know this stuff. The biblical timeline when it comes to the rapture and everything else, and it's just, it was pretty amazing.
One parent was telling me that of their child that's enrolled in this, that he said, Dad, what do you know about history? And he goes, like, you mean American history? No, Exodus. And his dad said, well, that's the Bible. And his son said, no, that's history. I mean, that was just, that's awesome stuff.
So if we could just all come to terms with the fact that the Bible is true history.
From day one.
Historical events. All right. Now, Elaine comes in and says, I hope Benny Hinn is sincere, but this is not the first time he has apologized and said he was going to change. Time will tell. The next one, Bob says if Benny Hinn was sincere, he would offer refunds to everyone who fell for his prosperity garbage to begin with. Also, he has not repented for the fake miracles, the fake hope he has given many that they would be healed, the guilt and shame he put on those who were not healed because they lacked true faith. I'm not buying it. Kim writes in and says, "While I am skeptical of Benny Hinn's apology, as Christians we should give him the benefit of the doubt and see what happens. Above all, we should be praying for him that the Holy Spirit convicts him of the depth of his sin against God through his false teaching history. Christians are called to be forgiving people. If he returns to his false teaching, then we will know he was deceiving people even more."
Yeah, I like the sentiment mainly of these emails, but I do believe that we should give Benny Hinn the benefit of the doubt, that his confession is sincere, but then watch, and let's see if he returns. Again, this is not the first time that he's repented of this or confessed of it, but let's see if it sticks this time. And wouldn't it be a remarkable story if someone like Benny Hill, he's the old comedian, wasn't he? Benny Hinn.
Well, I can see how you could confuse them.
True. If Benny Hinn one day and said, all of this stuff I've been doing has been wrong and an offense to God, the fake miracles, the fake prophecies and everything, but hey, maybe baby steps here, and time will tell if Benny Hinn was sincere or not.
Yeah, Anonymous next. Here's a real beauty for you. Last year, my wife and I were struggling with some issues in our marriage, and we met with our pastor. He referred me to a friend of his who is a psychologist / marriage counselor. So we went, and in our first session, he told us he is an atheist. Needless to say, we stopped going. Thank God we found another solid Christian couple who knew God's word and could help us get back on the right path. P.S., we've also left that church.
There are Christian counselors out there, I believe. There are Christian psychologists out there, and some people might think that's an oxymoron. Maybe the pastor didn't know, but he said it was his friend, so he must have known he was an atheist. Yeah. Boy, that's just not good advice.
Lynn is next. Thank you for the wonderful array of guests you have on your show. I learn more about how to understand youth and share the truth with them from people like Carl Kirby and Jay Siegert than I have ever learned from our church. Your show also helps me keep the noise of the media and the news in the proper perspective.
Well, thank you, Lynn. That's what we're trying to do for the past almost 10 years is report on the news of the world and then point us all to the scriptures so we can make sense of this incredible noise and chaos we have in this world.
Mark seconds that. He says, Carl Kirby is awesome. Our children, ages 7 and 9, love his videos, and they help me as their father. I think the old style of evangelizing fire and brimstone and Jesus loves you are not effective these days. We have to know the questions young people have, understanding the indoctrination they are going through, and be able to answer their questions with something more than just read the Bible. Yes, the Word of God is sufficient, but only if a person believes it is God speaking and not just stories by men.
Oh, I like that, and thank you, Mark. And, you know, I think I agree that fire and brimstone, there's a place for it, but fire and brimstone alone does not provide hope. Jesus loves you, provides hope, but it doesn't give the truth. It gives you the impression that no matter what you're doing or no matter what you believe, that Jesus loves you. So I really enjoy what Carl Kirby and Jay Siegert and others do, that helping us, and Rosho Christie, helping us understand, David, that young people these days face questions and problems and challenges that you and I could only imagine. Bullying, teachers indoctrinating you, media, social media, gaming. And I thank God for people like Carl and Jay and Rosho Christie that are helping us understand a little more of how young people see the world these days.
Next, Leonard says, when you combine the fact that the radical left in our nation controls the way we receive information, the media, Google, etc., with the fact that fewer and fewer professing Christians take time to read God's word, we see a recipe for disaster for our nation. This will affect the American church, and most will be forced to align with radical left thought or be shut down, either by Antifa-type rioters or eventually the government itself. Instead of understanding the times, the modern church is content to live the good life and pretend persecution could never come to the American church.
Thank you, Leonard. And I want to put a caveat in your email, if I may, that, of course, we are not talking about all churches. There are some very, very solid churches that are doing things the right way. They are teaching expositorily from God's word. They are including prophecy in their teaching. They're warning people while encouraging people. So, but I would agree with you, Leonard. It does seem that a growing number of churches is trying to lead this good life or trying to figure out how to compromise with culture or how not to irritate culture. And the fact of the matter is, Jesus said you cannot love God and money. You cannot, unless you hate the world, you cannot love him. So it's going to be very interesting times. And thank you, Elaine, Lee, Emma, Sam, and a few others. We didn't get to your emails. We'll get to them next time. But we always want to leave you with hope. And the greatest hope we can leave you with is understanding this. We were all born into sin. We are all sinners and rebels against God. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to live as one of us, to remain sinless, yet to become sin on our behalf, to die on a cross, absorb the wrath of God against sin, so that we who believe in who he is and confess him as Savior and Lord might be forgiven, and by God's grace alone be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life with him. That is an amazing story. That is the greatest story in the history of the universe. So share it. Share it with family and friends. God loves you. And if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone and confess of your rebellion and sin against God, you are forgiven and you will be saved. When we come back, we will wrap up the show and talk about next week's guests.
We're getting ready to wrap up today's show. Stand Up for the Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. Now, here's Mike LeMay.
Next week, David and I are joined by the law firm of Tykrib, Caw, Siegert, and Abercrombie. Carl Tykrib on Monday, Gary Caw on Tuesday, Jay Siegert on Wednesday, and of course, Dr. Abercrombie on Thursday, and he's got an event coming up in Fond du Lac that we're going to be talking about, Biblical Counseling Institute. So thank you so much for joining us this week, and may God bless you richly with a wonderful, wonderful weekend as we glorify his name and thank him for all the blessings he's given us. He has blessed us in immeasurable ways that sometimes we don't even realize. So thank you for joining us. For David Fiorazzo, I am Mike LeMay, standing up for the truth. And again, I hope you do have a great weekend. When you gather in fellowship this week, remember all the great things that God has blessed us with and how he will prepare us for whatever is on the road ahead of us. In the meantime, be bold, strong, and unashamed of the gospel, because the Lord your God is always with you.